CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. All right, it's Friday. It's the weekend. Happy. All right. So, Friday morning, best thing about the week. I already see people doing the thank God it's Friday in the comments, which is, you know, the regular thing. I just wonder, with the recession and the fact that we have no money in our bank accounts and everybody's feeling poorer at the moment than they've probably ever felt, is Friday still that good? I mean, what are you going to do with Friday? What, you just because you don't have to work, it's that much better? Tell the truth, huh? What do you think? Come on, I mean, be honest with me. You don't have to lie. We're all friends here. Is Friday really such a big deal when you're not going to do anything with it?
Yeah, and this is the Friday before the payday. So,
oh, this is the worst one.
Yeah.
Well.
Not great.
No. How are you, ass? What's been happening?
All good. I was just listening to your accents you were putting on now.
Mm.
And I received a video of my cousin-nephew, who's now two.
Oh, yeah?
And it's so funny how kids pick up the accent of the person they spend the most time with, right?
Oh, right. Okay.
Especially before they go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can bring up kids in a South African accented house.
Right.
And they'll in England, and they'll only start sounding like an English person once they go to school.
Right.
And my cousin nephew obviously spends a lot of time with the domestic worker.
Right.
And
I know where this is going.
So he's got this, yeah, he's got this little accent going, which is so funny. He's like a true little African kid.
That's so great.
And the last video we received was him doing animal sounds. And last night he was going, that is... pig.
That's so great. Yeah, you know,
and that's his accent now.
You know? that's how he sounds. Yeah, because that's the person, as you rightly pointed out, he spends most time with.
Yeah,
it's quite sweet. I mean, for a long time, I used to, because we had a domestic worker. Like I'm talking when I was a kid as well. I used to put that accent on. Of hers, whenever I would speak to other black people, and I realized, Jesus, this is not a good idea, because it was pissing some of them off. They thought I was mocking them, but I was a little kid, and I was just trying to sound, as I still do to this day, like if I speak to a French person, I'll speak French. If I'm speaking Setswana to a Tswana person, I feel like I'm connecting with them better. But in those days, I didn't realize that, because I didn't know the language, I just had the accent that...
Yes.
I was doing the opposite because we would go to like friends and visit them and their domestic worker hated me and I couldn't figure out why. It was because she thought I was mocking her.
Yeah. You
know? Which is so, it's such a fine line, and especially if you're.
It's so sensitive.
So sensitive.
In reality, it's just, if you watch this video, it's just, it's cute and it's the way life is at the moment, you know. I mean, my brother grew up for ages. All of his... animal names for his fluffy toys were Thomas and Jeffrey. You know, that's Thomas was Thomas and it's still Thomas.
Thomas. That's so great. I love that. Well, it is No Politics Friday, which is always a big relief for everybody. I mean, who wants to do that nonsense, right? But there are a couple of things that are worthy of our attention this morning. I wonder where we should start. Perhaps we should start with New Zealand and Australia. You know how much we love New Zealand and Australia. So I've only got three countries for us to look at very briefly. And it's not really politics. It's more like us going, wah, because a lot of these countries think they're superior to us in some way, shape, or form. Well, the first one, I don't think you can really say it's politics, but it's something that should make South Africans feel a little bit better. And for those South Africans who moved to Perth somewhere in the last 15 years, and you know I have no grudge. I mean, I really don't mind. You do you. And if you want to move somewhere, then you move somewhere. What the hell business is it of mine? But I do think this is kind of ironic, especially in the light of the fact that there isn't any light around the fact in South Africa. Often we've got load shedding a lot of the time. In fact, wouldn't be surprised if my lights go off in the next couple of minutes. But take a listen to this and see if this makes you think, hang on, that sounds like something I know all about. The Australian TV.
Breaking news on the electricity crisis. State Treasurer Matt Keane has just fronted the cameras, urging every household across the state to reduce their energy consumption right now to avoid a blackout tonight. It comes just hours after the regulator suspended the energy market nationally for the very first time in a drastic move to keep the lights on.
The most powerful man in power seizes control of the market.
This decision was made because it was impossible to operate the system under current conditions.
At 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Australian Energy Market Operator suspended the market that sets the price of power on the East Coast. Tonight, in this unprecedented emergency measure, the government operator dictating how much energy private generators should provide and the price they will be paid.
That is the best way for Australian homes and businesses to be sure that the lights will go on when they flick the switch.
But tonight, a warning for New South Wales. A number of power generators withdrawing their supply and threatening blackouts. Oh,
the Australian Energy Market Operator has asked people to consider their electricity usage tonight between 5:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. where it's safe to do so.
All right, I'm not going to play you the whole thing, but what do you think of that? It's familiar, huh?
It sounds familiar, but boy, they make it sound really dramatic.
Oh, it is.
Because I wish they would cover our electricity
No,
cuts.
But we're so used to ours. Are you joking? Like, for us, it's like, oh, no, there's load shedding again. You can actually hear South Africans going, oh, no, as it happens here. But for Australia, and by the way,
but imagine
the reason yeah. Australia is having these problems, and France, by the way, same thing also, blackouts, rolling blackouts. Why? Because they followed the stupid green energy policy, which they've been, you know, kind of forcing down everyone's throats. But, ah, there goes mine, just as if in protest. You know, Greta Thunberg running around the world saying, how dare you? And don't use electricity. It is very bad. And if you do use electricity, it must be from the sun or from hydroelectric power or from the wind or from the wind. Because how else am I going to get what I want? I am a very angry, very, very cross 15-year-old. Don't be so rude and use coal-fired and oil-fired power stations and nuclear. I hate nuclear. Now, what have you got? You've got a lack of power all over the world. And Russian oil and gas gone sky high. Why? Because there's a war in Ukraine and everybody in Europe needs to be powered. They need electricity. So Greta Thunberg, we should really, and I know she's a young lady.
But you're really blaming it all on her?
We should chase her out of every forum in the world. This is the kind of stupid advice that you get if you follow a young activist from Sweden. Chase her out of town or put her in the pillories and throw vegetables at her. She is not someone to be trusted when it comes to energy policy.
Vegetables.
I'm telling you.
Do you really think that she's the cause?
It's all that fucking Greta Thunberg.
Oh, Lordy.
This is what happens when you follow.
If only she was that powerful.
You follow the dictates of a child instead of listening to experts who actually know what they're talking about. And we should have all got into nuclear a long, long time ago. Sure, there'd be one or two Chernobyls and Three Mile Islands. But I promise you, the whole world would have more than enough power. And I am still hoping against hope that somewhere in the world, some brilliant genius comes up with a way to do the fusion reactor. And they manage to do it in, you know, something the size of a suitcase where you can generate so much electricity that we will never, ever need to use any alternative means at all. And it will be safe and it will be incredible in terms of its output. I think it's going to be marvelous when they eventually decide how to do that and they figure out how to handle those extremely high temperatures, those extremely high pressures, and when they manage to store it in batteries. So I would rather bet on Elon Musk than Greta Thunberg right now. How dare you? How dare you? Well, Greta, look at this. Countries like Australia and France, supposedly first world countries, no power. How dare you, Greta, how dare you? Anyway, that's one thing. Over from one of the things that irritates us South Africans to another thing that irritates us South Africans. Here's the amazing Jacinda Ardern, right? And it says here, in case you can't see it on the screen, there's her looking a little perturbed. It says, a New Zealand vaccinated their entire adult population by the end of February. That was 83% overall. Yet somehow they have the highest COVID case rate on earth, despite an indoor mask mandate now set to tighten restrictions once again. Oh, my God.
Oh.
But this is because, why? Because this brilliant horse-toothed, thistle-arsed New Zealand bumpkin says, this is, I'm talking about Jacinda Ardern here, no, we're going to lock down, we're going to keep everyone out. That's what they were going to do, turn it back into the far-flung prison colony it once was. New Zealand happens to have the highest COVID death rate on earth right at the moment. Didn't I say this was going to happen? I'm pretty sure I said so. Hang on.
But what's that? Like 3 out of 3 people dying?
Well, I mean, there are only like 27 people in New Zealand, but it's the highest rate in the world right now. Why? Because when you close yourself off and you isolate, and you do all this dumb stuff the World Health Organization told you to, then you develop zero herd immunity, and then as soon as you open up again, this happens. You don't have to be a doctor or a virologist or a statistician or any other kind of qualified university degree person to figure these basic things out. You don't have to be any of those things. This was obvious. But you know what? Jacinda and the people in New Zealand are reaping the whirlwind for her stupid policies and decisions. So I'm just saying again, there's Australia with no power right now. There's New Zealand with more COVID than anyone else. Hey, kind of these are the countries that people held in high esteem. One last one. How about it? You ready?
But before that, did you saw what I sent through this morning about New Zealand, right?
No, tell us.
Just while we're on the subject.
Go on.
It's been voted in quite a big survey by the expatriate networking organization, Internations.
Oh, yeah?
They surveyed nearly 12,000 respondents of 177 different nationalities living in 181 countries. And New Zealand was voted the second worst place to move to. And this is very interesting because during COVID, many Americans, you know, the way we all say we're packing for Perth.
Right.
They were all saying, I'm moving to New Zealand.
Is that, that include, because obviously this is countries that are actually places you would want to move to. I mean, I'm thinking it's probably not, you know, Burkina Faso. They're not on the list. And maybe... Uzbekistan is not on the list. Because, I mean, you know, compared to what is always the important question with these things. If New Zealand...
There are 52 countries.
All right. So right. They're not including Afghanistan, basically.
No.
Okay.
So, for instance, Mexico was first.
Yeah.
New Zealand second. Australia ranked 9th best overall.
Hmm.
But what's happening in New Zealand is people are realizing we aren't getting enough pay or enough money. The cost of living is too high. I know that's pretty standard across the world right now during all the crises that we're facing. But there, in particular, their safety, financial outlook, bureaucracy, ease of fitting in, all of those things were really way down the scale.
Yeah.
That were up.
Yeah, this is from one of my favorite channels. It's the Indian news channel, WION, that came up with this immigration survey. New Zealand has been ranked second worst place in the world to move by immigrants. By immigrants. Okay, so this is by people who've already moved, according to a survey. The expatriate networking organization, Internations, surveyed nearly 12,000 people from 177 different nationalities living in 181 countries and found that New Zealand has a very low rate of welcoming migrants with an overall score of 0%. Oh, my God. All right. So they're not only strange people in New Zealand. And by the way, I have no issue of malice for people who have moved. You know, if you're a South African, we've got friends. I've got friends in New Zealand. Friends who moved there. The friends I did have in New Zealand got out of there as quickly as they could and went to Australia, and they say it's much better. But yeah, that's besides the point. This is in the news at the moment, and not great for Jacinda's paradise that she was trying to. You know, people do think that because it's so far away, it would be a safe place. It would be, and it's full of rules.
Well, it's the environment, the climate, the outdoors, all of that. That ranked in the top half of the countries.
Right.
The natural environment being loved by 95% of those living there.
Okay. Still not a great score, but, yeah, huh? All right, so let's leave New Zealand.
No, when it comes to making money and living.
We won't beat them up. I mean, we've got our own problems, and we've got a lot of those. I mean, we've got a ton of them. So, you know, bring it on. If you want to criticize South Africa, we have plenty that is worthy of criticism. In fact, we spend a good 4 days of the week moaning and bitching about our own situation here, most of which we can lay at the feet of the government, because South Africa is not a shit country for other reasons. It's primarily our government that gives us a low score. You know, if we were swimming and we were above water and then you attached the government to people, they'd sink and they'd drown. That's kind of how it looks. So let's listen to one last one so you can feel better about yourself this morning. This comes from the CDC in America, someone called Rachel Walensky, who's the director of the CDC in America. I can't believe this is still a thing, but here it is, right? This is what's actually happening in the United States. This came out this week. This is not a flashback to 2020. This is this week. Okay, this week.
Many Americans are under-vaccinated, meaning they are not up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines. Not all people over the age of 50 have received their first booster dose. Of those who received their first booster dose, only 28% of those over 50 have received a second booster dose. And of those over the age of 65, only 34% have received their second booster dose. So my message right now is very simple. It's essential that these Americans, as Dr. Shah said, get their second booster shot right away.
Why? Why bother? It's over. It's over, and Omicron is weak as fuck, and nobody's dying anymore in America from this thing. So what is this insane, like, oh, but we need to go back to, let's do some more vaccinations because that worked so well the first time around. Dumb, dumb, dumb. And I think it's political. I think it's got everything to do with the fact that there's just nothing for the Democrats to talk about at the moment. So they're trying to remind people of what happened with COVID. You know, you've got to get your vaccination because then it makes them sound like they're doing something. And we've had that conversation a million times. So how ridiculous is that? Three really dumb things that are happening elsewhere, not just here in South Africa, but elsewhere in the world. Just some stuff to think about this morning. And Stephen says, welcome to No Politics Friday, and proceeds to talk about politics for 20 minutes. Well, you don't have to listen.
Unfortunately, politics is driving everything from our electricity to our vaccinations to where we want to live.
Right. Anyway, let's talk about other things because there are quite a lot of things going on. I mentioned the other day I want to start a new show where we talk to Uber drivers. You know, we get them in and we just hear their great stories, because I took two Ubers last Saturday and I had the most fascinating conversation with the two drivers. The driver that took me there is from Rwanda, and he was telling me about the kind of wacky, insane people he's picked up, including one girl who he said was naked when he picked her up. So I said, really? That he said, yeah, naked. And I said, but what? He said, I don't know what happened. He said she was wearing no clothes, not even a panty. So he picked her up outside some party or something, and then she just wanted
to go. She really needed that Uber.
Badly. And then there was a woman who took me home late at night. It wasn't even that late. It was probably like midnight, somewhere on there. And she told me the story about how she has to carry like a mace spray, a screwdriver, and a penknife with her. Because as a woman Uber driver, you just never know what you might meet up with. You know, there's some dodgy people out there. And it was just fascinating to hear these stories, because I'm sure that those were just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Uber drivers. And apparently 550 women are suing Uber saying they were sexually assaulted by their drivers. Now, I know that there must be real cases and real situations that have taken place here that are awful, and my sympathies, and I hope that that Uber is held responsible for those. But I can't help thinking that, you know, just like any situation where there are drunk people and there are people late at night or early in the morning, a lot of these are just nonsense. A lot of these are people who've had a bad time and either see a way to getting some money, or they don't want to admit that their boyfriend did something that they didn't, or that they did something that they shouldn't have. You know, and Uber's like caught in the crossfire. And I don't say this lightly, because I know people are going to go, "Oh, and I believe all victims." No, I'm afraid not. We've seen too many cases in the last 5 years of people who, and especially women who've been in an awkward situation with either a partner or a stranger or someone that they do know, but they don't really get along with anymore. And then they look for a way to, you know, rope that person to sexual harassment charges, sexual assault charges, issues. I don't think that this is necessarily a cut and dried case of every one of those 550 women needs reparations now or needs to be taken seriously. I'm sure some of them are bullshitters. What do you think?
No, well, even if you had to assign a percentage to that, it's still far too many people. One is far too many people.
You're never going to get to zero. There's going to be one shitty Uber driver somewhere in the world who's going to do something bad.
No, of course. But I'm saying of these women, you know, if you want to say that, then let's say 500 instead of 550. But no. They've all come together now. And some of the accusations go beyond sexual assault. Some of them were kidnapped. Some of them were falsely imprisoned. Some of them were even stalked by their drivers. So, I mean, what's happened now as well is that somebody who used to work there has come forward, not as a driver, but as a, I'm just trying to find his official title. Bear with me.
That's all right. While she goes through her files, a lot of people in the comments are looking at where Ben is. Ben is not joining us this morning. He's got some work thing on, but he'll be back next week. So Michael and Ruth and everybody else who's asking, Ben is not here this morning, but we have the marvelous, beautiful Leanne Moll who's joining us. So don't complain. You get a double mole this weekend on Monday and Friday to start your weekend, to wrap it up. All right, yes, you found your fact, your little factoid.
No, it's so weird. It must have been in a different story I read.
He was
high up the ranks at Uber.
Okay.
And he says that they even had this kind of fail-safe policy, this kind of button that you could press if there were investigations that began that would destroy all evidence of, you know, complaints and things that had been filed against Uber. And he used to work there, and he's now come forward and said, you know, these things need to be looked at.
I don't know.
Obviously this isn't.
You know, it's always interesting. Like, it's always these disgruntled ex-employees who have like dirt on the company, and you find out like 3 months down. Again, I'm just saying, don't read everything at face value. We've seen enough cases of people who claim something happened, and then we find out later on, no, you were fired because you were waving your dick at the receptionist, or because you stole from the stationery cupboard or whatever. And they're like, no, 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 there's a button that you press. I don't believe that for a second. What, you mean that Uber would allow you to hide the case, which could get them into criminal trouble? Remember, this is a company just like any other. Companies are held to a very high standard. First of all, they're held to a high standard by their own board of directors, some of whom are activist shareholders. And those activist shareholders might be people who are particularly interested in social issues. So long before the state gets involved, you have accountability within the company, right? And these days, you've also got employees who are activists, who are looking for reasons to get their employer into trouble all the time. So companies have to be exceedingly careful. They can't go around destroying evidence. Furthermore, once it does get to criminal court, if it transpires that they have destroyed evidence, that cost for dereliction of duty, for destroying evidence, getting in the way of a criminal investigation, that could amount to millions in fines and possible an imprisonment of you know, people who are important in the company who did this kind of thing. There are serious consequences. No company's going to do this. Are we going to believe some disgruntled ex-employee that there's a panic button that you press and then everything gets destroyed? What is this?
Ex-executive.
Science fiction movie? What a lot of shit. Sorry, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I love Uber. You know what our lives were like before Uber, Leanne? Do you remember? We used to have to drive drunk.
Yeah, of course.
We used to drive drunk. You know how much worse that was?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But it's definitely more good than bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that these things need to, you know, they need to be known.
Yeah. I like those words we started this whole conversation with respect to New Zealand and the, you know, the immigrants to New Zealand complaining. Compared to what is the point, right? If you're going to compare yourself to utopia that doesn't exist, where, like, nobody ever gets hurt and nothing ever goes wrong, then you haven't encountered real human beings in your life. Because there are always going to be shitty humans. Always. And those shitty humans are going to do what shitty humans do, which is usually be shit. If, however, you are comparing it with the real world, where these things do happen from time to time and we try to mitigate against them and keep them to an absolute minimum, then that's a different story. So, again, let's be sensible.
It's all relative.
Of course it is. And just use those words, compared to what? You know, I listened to a really interesting interview yesterday with a Marxist professor. He's probably the leading professor of Marxism in America. He's been to all the big universities. Very, very smart guy. Interesting guy to listen to. But, you know, being a Marxist, just really, really blindsided by his own ideology so much of the way. His name is Richard Wolff. He is a philosopher and economist at Harvard. And, I mean, you listen to this guy for long enough and you realize, like, even, and I know it's no politics Friday, but even the most dyed-in-the-wool left or right person in politics, compared to what? Like, are you going to say that, you know, Rwanda was a great country during the genocide compared to Hitler? Sure. Actually, what is it in your head that you use as a standard for figuring out what's good or bad in the world? And the same goes for companies. You don't like dealing with a company, the best thing you can do is not spend your money with them. And there are alternatives now, you know, thanks to Bolt and what are the other major Lyft services? There's one for just women that's been launched recently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, use one of those.
Yeah, I thought about that one, and I thought with the solution it would be really archaic. Would the solution not be for women to drive women and men to drive men, you know?
Yeah, until one day there's a woman who, like, assaults a woman. And then people go, oh, God, now that whole thing's gone. See, again, compared to what?
some female serial killer who hates women.
Right, exactly. It could happen. It really could. Oh, I had I had the best day yesterday, so I did, you know, my favorite thing, my therapy, and I won't lie to you, I'm feeling a little scratchy at the moment in terms of, like, the economy, business, finances, and all of that stuff. I think a lot of us are, so it wouldn't be unique to me. But when I am in that kind of mood, I tidy up. So I went through a bunch of drawers. I threw out so many cables and little electronic things that just don't either have never worked or
even you have no idea what they're for.
I don't know what they're for anymore. They're a whole bunch of the cables and connectors that I've got. I have no idea what they're for. They were just in this box. I had this big tangled box of cables. And I will take a picture and show you how it's organized now. Oh, my God, how fantastic. I took every little plug. I wound little elastics around them so that they're neat and tidy. I threw away the ones that I don't know what device they belong to. You know all those network cables that we used to have that you would plug into the, like, the internet?
The Ethernet.
The Ethernet socket, and then it's your – I mean, this laptop doesn't even have an Ethernet socket. I don't know what I'd do. If I needed an Ethernet
cable. There's an adapter.
There is.
I've got one of them on right now.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. So that adapter, I've got like 1,000 adapters of various kinds that Most of them I've never used. Mm-hmm. They've just been gathering dust, and then you see one and you think, oh, I need that. Or you do buy it for a reason, and then that reason goes away because it becomes redundant. So I cleared out. I must have thrown away two of those big black rubbish bags just full of cables, chargers that I don't use anymore, connectors that don't connect to anything.
I always feel weird putting that stuff in the bin.
Yeah.
It always feels like, doesn't somebody else need this? I not need to categorize them and put them online?
Yeah, well, the funny thing about all that stuff is that some of it contains gold, you know. If you took the time and trouble and you were really, like, into saving money and finding ways to turn crap into value, you could actually remove the gold from a lot of electronic stuff, and many people do. There's a whole business in it. You know, you dissolve all the other metals in acid and you're left with the gold. But my God, that would be such a mission. And it's messy. Mm. I don't know that you'd really be able to rescue that much gold out of it. But I was thinking about that while I was throwing away.
The time that it would take for you to do that, you could have spent making money elsewhere by just working, you know, during that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I did feel kind of bad about throwing out all this electronic stuff. But you know what's going to happen, right? Someone's going to go through all that, and they will find the cables.
Mm-hmm.
And they will love it. Someone says here, just throw out the box, Gareth. You don't need that charger for BlackBerry anymore. Well, exactly. I mean, I never even had a BlackBerry, but somehow I had a BlackBerry charger. Bizarre, right?
Yeah.
I have a tendency to hoard. So there are still cupboards that I have to go through and just mercilessly throw shit out. You know that pair of headphones that you've always had and you're like, oh, I'll get these fixed. Mm-mm.
No, you won't.
No, time to throw them away. And Steve,
old glass frames, glasses and sunglasses that are broken.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Broken sunglasses. Why do we keep them? We're not going to get them fixed. Steve says, I thought you were going to say how great your air fryer is. Well, it hasn't arrived yet. It's arriving today, but... I will definitely let you know how that goes. You've got an air fryer, right, Lias?
I don't, but when I house sit at my brother's, he's got one, and it's super convenient. Instead of heating up a whole oven to warm something up, you just use that little guy. And it's also nice for if you make a little roll or something with cheese on it, pop that in there, and it gets all toasty and warm.
I don't want to have a whole conversation about it, because when we do, Lebung comes online, and then she is such a – she's like – a religious nut when it comes to the air fryer. She gets so excited, and then she starts talking, and you can basically just switch on her mic, switch everyone else off, and let her finish the show. She'll talk for 3 hours about an air fryer. I kid you not. So it's weird.
But you know what? She's really credible because she has to. She runs an entire army as a household.
I know. Yeah, she
so
needs
she,
it.
She knows what works and what doesn't.
So, no, Lias, you don't need those cables for the 90s answering machine anymore. It's time to move on, everyone. Throw out all that cuck. Well, that process continues today. I've got to go through a whole lot of other... You know, for example, I had a camera system. I had like one of those cameras at the door, but it was all cables, right? So this is put in when I moved into the house. And I've got to throw all that stuff out because I don't use that anymore. I don't even think it works. If I switched it on, it would probably explode. So I've got to throw that out. It's like an old DSTV decoder, which I know is broken because it hasn't. Why am I keeping that? What am I going to do?
Old modems.
Modems. Oh. What am I going to do with old modems? I found one of those yesterday too. I'm like, what the hell is this doing here? The reason I got a new modem is because the old modem's broken. Throw it out. What am I going to do with it? It's ridiculous. Printers are worse than cables.
Yeah,
yes.
I've got those, and I've got a lot of sports watches as well, and you know, heart rate monitors, and old iPods.
Oh no,
it's crazy. Printers, and then also printer ink from the printers that don't work anymore.
And you always find like you've thrown out an old printer, and I've got one sitting in my garage at the moment, which I've also got to get rid of. You gather so much shit, and I think. Well, if I had known that this thing was going to end up here at this time, I just should never have spent the money on it in the first place. Right? Anyway, I tried to sell three of those printers, says Congo Chris, a few years back. Those are old style TV computer monitors. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Those also, they never last. Old Betamax video machine, throw it out. Right? Carl says,
I've kept mine because I've actually still got Beta videos.
Well,
not Beta, VHS, videos.
All right, but not a Betamax machine.
No, not Beta.
Carl DeSantis says, if I hear about air fryers on Cliff Central one more goddamn time, fucking hell. All right. Recycle. It's called e-waste. Well, Claire, where do I take my e-waste? Police. They're those guys who go through
just
the
Google
rubbish
it.
Anyway. No, they're those people who do it. They do it for a living. It's their whole thing. Check on your neighborhood group for electronic recycling. You'll get it. Okay, all right. You know what? All of you who want to recycle this, come and collect it. Printer ink is worth gold. The printer cartridges are useless. Yeah, that's true. The empty ones especially. But they are expensive, hey. Printer ink is very expensive. Recently moved house, says Boiled Prawn Shack. I must have thrown out 10 black bags worth of shit, including two DSTV decoders. Oh, yes. And it's amazing how we will buy, especially, you know, so some of it's printers and cables and all the stuff we've been talking about. A lot of it is also TV accessories. I mean, you know, the number of cables you will use for your TV, like in, especially in the old days, you had those connectors to aerials and things. Do you remember when that was a thing?
Satellite dishes.
Yeah. And the cables that come from that. And then it's all like glued to the wall, and when you pull it off, it pulls off the paint, that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is obviously stuff in the kitchen, coffee machines, you know, pots and pans that you no longer use, just stupid stuff.
Blenders and mixers.
We've got to clear that crap out of our lives. Tracy says, I need to get an old LP digitized. My dad died when I was young, and he was an amazing guitarist and made an LP with his mates before I was born. Going to hear his voice for the first time. Wow. That's pretty amazing. That'll be superb. Leanne, are you on those Beta tapes with Ron Jeremy, the porn star?
Indeed.
That's great.
You thought the sex voice was all I did.
No, she did. She made actual porn as well. A bread maker, says Steve. Yeah, you got to throw that shit out. You know what happens is you buy something like that because you see it on TV. Or it comes up on one of those apps that you buy stuff from. And then you think, oh, that'll be cool. I'll make bread. And especially during lockdown, obviously, people did all this dumb stuff. And then after you've done it three times and you've shown the family, look, I can make bread. And you've shown your friends, oh, look, I've got a bread maker. And then you're stuck with this stupid thing. It takes up space in your kitchen. And you don't have – it's not fun anymore because you've done it. And maybe you were good at it. Maybe you were amazing at it. But even if you weren't, even if you were terrible at it, you only need three or four tries and then you're done.
Mm.
See, this is another thing. Do not go to these porn shops because you will buy stuff you don't need. Chris says, DSTV decoders have a 1 terabyte hard drive in them. Those things should be repurposed, I think.
Repurposed?
You mean. Yeah, that's the worst spelling of repurposed I've ever seen. Chris, you need to go back to school. Vitsako says, bought a slow cooker at Cash Converters. No idea why. Yeah, you see, like the dumb stuff we do. And then we go, oh, I've got no money. What happened to my money? It's because you spent it on dumb shit like that. SodaStream, says Congo Chris. We still have ours, but it hasn't been used since 2002. Fuck you very Mark for cursing me with this crap. Yes. SodaStream.
Electric blankets with only one side that works.
Why do you think they make it on purpose so that one side stops working?
Listen, you can get electric blankets for so cheap now. You can get them for like 300 rand, I think. And then but you know, the ones that we had before that lasted 20 years. These will last 2 seasons.
Well, as long as you don't catch fire while you're sleeping, everything's fine, right?
I know it's a fear of yours.
Jeez. I turn that thing off like as soon as I'm in the bed. It's off. If I could, I would also unplug it, but that's too much of a schlep. I'm telling you. Anyway.
I actually leave mine, the one side, on for the cats during the day.
Oh, man. Come on. Really, that's spoiling the hell out of them. And you know what the cost of electricity
is? No, it keeps them... No, electric blankets, very low to run.
Really?
Very low, surprisingly low. It's a few cents. Okay. Yeah. You keep that on one, and then you don't have them hanging around your ankles the whole time. They go and lie there.
Are you sure it's cheap to run those?
I promise you, I saw a TikTok video.
Oh, well, then it must
truly,
be true.
There's a South African guy who's... been putting out these videos on electrical consumption.
He's been putting
really
out.
Helpful.
He's been putting out.
Yeah, he's been putting out. He puts it to us.
All right.
And that was the one surprising one, was electric blankets are not as bad as you think.
All right, here's a good story, because we've got to look at some news this morning. There's quite a lot going on. And it's not political, so don't panic. Don't get upset. Don't worry about it. It's all under control. They found a missing, formerly hidden Van Gogh portrait under another canvas. So experts at the National Galleries of Scotland have made a find when the canvas was x-rayed before an exhibition. The hidden self-portrait was covered by layers of glue and cardboard on the back of an earlier work called Head of a Peasant Woman. Gallery's senior conservator, Leslie Stevenson, said she felt shocked to find the artist looking back at her. She said, "When we saw the x-ray for the first time, of course we were hugely excited. This is a significant discovery because it adds to what we already know about Van Gogh's life. The Dutch artist often used canvases to save money, so he would reuse an old canvas if he didn't like the painting underneath, and he would turn them over and then work on the other side. So they x-rayed this thing and they found an incredible portrait of Van Gogh. I know you want to see it, so here it is. This is the x-ray, and you can see there he is. There's the famous Vincent Van Gogh. Looking right back at us. The Americans say Vincent Van Gogh, but that's the same guy. And that was at the back of another picture, which is this one there. And that was from the National Galleries of Scotland. They've got a Van Gogh. I know they've looked it up, and they're x-rayed in the background. And I found out that there's another self-portrait underneath. His work did not sell during his lifetime. And fame only came after his death at 1890, at the age of 37. Oh, I hate that. Imagine if they discover you're a fucking genius, but you're dead. You can't make money out of it.
If you think about all of the old canvases that he thought, this picture's crap.
Yeah.
And he discarded them. They could be as crappy as anything, and they still would have made even more money.
Millions. I mean, this one that's hidden underneath this, I mean, they're probably... That head of a peasant woman is probably worth less than the supposed Van Gogh self-portrait. Anyway, I mean, it's just an amazing story. I love when these people, they pick up some old picture. And you know what my favorite part of this is? And you know, Ass, because you're on Collectomania with us a lot of the time. So when you look at these pictures, it's always the stuff that's going on in the background, on the back of the canvas, that's most interesting. I mean, if you look at the actual photograph of what the back of this Van Gogh canvas looks like. And these are the things that we will never see as, you know, people who visit a gallery, for example. But the picture here is of all these labels and stamps and things that have been put on the back. I mean, I just love this because it's got dates and it's got signatures and it's got authentications and, you know, this is the property.
I picked up one of those.
Look at this. Look at all those. See, every...
Oh, wow.
So all these little numbers and people who... So under that is where the Van Gogh self-portrait is. Phenomenal. Yeah.
And it's amazing that they don't even have to really uncover it. They can see it through x-ray.
That's
really great.
It's great.
But I do have... I picked up from an antique shop, and you know me with my antique paintings and finding letters behind them and things.
Yes.
It was a small framed painting, oil painting. And only once I'd got it home did I realize at the back was the back of the canvas and there was another painting on it.
Ooh, buenas.
And people who know art have seen it before and have said the one on the back is much higher quality and a lot better. The frame should be turned the other way around.
So you're going to do it because that could be a project for you. You could do it on your own.
Sure.
You could.
See me doing craft work. At home.
What, you couldn't do that? You could figure out how to do that.
It's going to go in the pile of the broken headphones.
No. Oh, I see that Ivana Trump, the mother of Trump's three eldest children, she died. Mm-hmm. She died?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she was 73.
Hmm. Now, every time someone suddenly dies, I think it's the vax, says Kinu. Well, I don't know about that. But, Shem, you see, now this won't be, people will not be nice about Ivana Trump. Like they would, for example, if Hillary Clinton jumped off the edge of a building, or she just hopped the perch in a much less dramatic way. They'd say nice things about Hillary. They won't say nice things about Ivana. They'll talk about her being Eastern European and not speaking English properly. Watch. They're going to be mean about her. Anyway, other news, while we're talking about headlines, Netflix has partnered with Microsoft to offer cheaper streaming. Do you care about that? I don't. Let's move on.
I care about anything that's cheaper right now, thanks.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't use any of these streaming things. Bill Gates has vowed to drop off the world's rich list. Yeah, you should just drop the hell out of the news.
I saw that.
Actually, he's pledged again to give his wealth away, adding that he will eventually drop off the world's rich list. It came as Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates announced he would make a $20 billion donation to his philanthropic fund. Listen, he does good work, but he also is... I don't know why this guy's always mouthing off about stuff he knows nothing about. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you know everything. The world's fourth richest man said he had an obligation to return his resources to society. He first pledged to give away his wealth in 2010, but his net worth has more than doubled since then. Oh, I'm giving away so much, but I just cannot stop making more.
I can't keep up.
I'm trying so hard to be poor, but it's impossible for me. I'm such a genius.
I throw away 10 bags of money and I get another 40.
I know, but this is the problem, right? He's burning cash. He's trying to throw cash at everybody and everything he can, and yet it's still making him more money. He announced that he's apparently worth $118 billion, according to this and according to Forbes magazine. That will fall significantly after his donation to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a charitable fund he set up with his ex-wife in 2000.
I think I'm going to set up a mole fund, and he can...
Yeah, he can run it.
And, you know...
Yeah, well, Bill, I mean...
Pitch it to him.
Yeah, Bill, you seem so good at just making money, despite everything that, you know, you're the opposite of me. Bill just makes money when I just seem to lose money. So here's the actual tweet that he put up. I don't know whether... You never know with these very rich people if they're actually tweeting or if their people are doing it, especially in Bill's case, because he's got this huge staff of people who kind of look after all the stuff for him. But here, although the foundation bears our names, basically half our resources have come from Warren Buffett. His incredible generosity is a huge reason why the foundation has been able to be so ambitious. I can never adequately express how much I appreciate his friendship and guidance. And then it's a little chart of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and all the gifts that have been given to them. And it is interesting that Warren Buffett's given so much. And then he says, as I look into the future, I plan to give virtually all of my wealth to the foundation. I will move down and eventually be off the list of the world's richest people. Okay, well, it's obviously eating him up, so if that makes him happy, good. And a lot of that money will go to some very good causes, some of it less good. He's very political, our Bill Gates. I mean, I love the mosquito nets, but I'm a bit suspicious of some of his other endeavors. And then Searcher is back with a second attempt at a seismic survey off the West Coast. This is amazing. They keep looking into what's going off on the West Coast of South Africa, because we have a whole lot of resources supposedly off the West Coast that are not being used. Searcher, which is a company, they have applied for a new permit to conduct a seismic survey off the West Coast. The geoscience data company, which is based in the UK, was previously blocked by the Western Cape High Court from conducting a multi-client 2 and 3D seismic survey. They have found that the company excluded small-scale fishers from the consultation process. So now some fucker in a boat with a fishing rod is getting in the way of us actually figuring out what's under the water on the West Coast. We could have oil. We could have massive resources there that we desperately need in a country where we've run out of money. But a bunch of fishermen who are probably drunk in tiny little boats are standing in their way.
You know, when you said small-scale fishers, I thought of fish with small scales.
I know. Them too. I'm sure that they're also protesting this. Don't you think we should be looking at this at very least? Just looking at it. And by the
way, absolutely.
It's way off the coast. If I show you a satellite picture of the area that they're looking at doing these seismic surveys of, it's way off the coast. If those small-scale fishes, as they call them, are going to be concerned, maybe they should look at a map and see that they couldn't take their crap little boats out this far. And what is small scale, by the way? If you bring back, what, a ton of fish, you can't really be small scale. Now, I reckon you have to have one of those ton or more size boats to get out this far. There's Cape Town is in the bottom right-hand corner, okay? We're talking miles and miles and miles out to sea. That's where they want to go and do these seismic
surveys. Also, can they not compensate the people who would be fishing there?
No.
In order for this to go ahead.
Screw them. They must make more use of themselves in other places. I'm sorry. Just compensate. What, you get compensated when you your client, your employer says to you, we don't need you this month anymore? Does someone suddenly come to your rescue and give you free money? No, obviously not. So it's ridiculous. Don't help anybody. This is what we need. We need the oil. We need the gas. We need whatever's down there. And we will do whatever we can to get it. I don't see why we aren't using this stuff. It's ridiculous. Is the National Art Museum in Edinburgh when it comes to that Van Gogh painting? I'm not sure. But Scotland's capital is Edinburgh. But a lot of what Scotland does is actually done in Glasgow because it's a bigger city and it's much more industrial. I'm not sure, though. I really don't know. BlackBerry chargers will work on some Samsungs. Ooh, I was talking to Greg at the office yesterday because we had a meeting, and someone was talking about how, they iPhone is just crap and there's been nothing new in iPhone for a long time. And Greg was like, well, I got one of the first Androids, and he did. He was way ahead of everybody else. He had one of those original Android phones while we were all still on BlackBerry. And he's very proud of that. He's very proud of that, Greg. He thinks that's a major step. I'm proud of the fact that I called so many things over the last 2 years right. Greg is like, well, I could have told you that Android would be better years ago, and I did, and nobody listened. So I said to him, yeah, you're right. And I patted him on the back, and then he felt better, which is probably all I need to just feel better, Pat me on the back. Bill Gates, lots of people talking about that. The ANC must be removed, says Tabo on No Politics Friday. I slept with no power. I'm waking up and showering with no power and get to work after this. There's another load shedding schedule. I'm sick of this country, man. Anyway, happy Friday. All right, Tabo. Wusa. Breathe. Take it easy. It's going to be okay, like Dr. Hanan says. Twitter is trying to sue Elon into buying them now since their stock dropped into the red again. Well, then he should say, all right, fine, but then we'll buy at the new stock price. They're so stupid. You can't force someone to buy you. Just like you can't force someone to love you. Twitter is like the dumbest.
Just because they made an offer.
I know. I'm so glad that I didn't go back on Twitter when Elon came back. And now I'd have to go back off again. So I'm glad I made that call. Conga Chris says, fuck the oil under the sea. We need pebble bed modular reactors. Yes, we do. But that's gone. Those guys upped and left when they realized our energy department didn't know what they were talking about. Gareth, any resource off the coast will be the source of corruption like South Africa's never imagined. Look at Nigeria. Yes, but then we need private companies to manage.
This is what concerns me.
We need private companies to manage.
Sure.
Our fish populations are in dire levels. The seals of Cape St. Francis are starving. I've never liked seals. Have you ever been near seals? They stink.
Of course. I lived in Cork Bay. No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They stink. They're stupid. I don't see the point of seals.
It's your pollution in the sea that stinks.
Then you can have all the seals, and you and Ruth can look after them.
Penguins are stinky.
Let me just put this on the record, Ruth, so that you don't say I'm a complete and utter asshole, even though I may be one of those, maybe complete, maybe utter, you decide. I accept that our fish resources are in dire straits. I do understand that. And I do think that human beings have ruined the oceans. Not only do we put all our plastic crap in them, but we've actually fished the place pretty much to extinction. And I do think that's a huge problem. And I do agree with you. We need to have marine conservancy. We need to have places where fish can repopulate and where they can be left alone and not be dragged up in nets, whether they're this big or they're as big as, you know, one of those big groupers. Oh, hang on. My alarm just went off. How irritating.
No, it's mine.
Is it yours?
It was mine.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I'm on antibiotics at certain times of the day. So, have you got that tooth thing?
Have you got a pill schedule?
I had to.
Yeah.
You try and remember when to take an antibiotic when you have to take it four times a day. It's so confusing.
Good Lord. Do you also have to do they still have to do that suppository for you every day twice?
Yes, and they come to clean my toenails.
Oh, it's so great. So
the under my crocheted blanket.
The gross life of Leanne Moll. Ugh. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in the next hour with even more. And by the way, we will be joined by Jesse Clegg and Zolani Mahola. You know Zolani from Freshly Ground.
Mm-hmm.
We love Zolani. And they're going to join us because remember we talked about the tribute show that they're doing to Johnny Clegg. We spoke about it. They were going to do this right at the beginning of the lockdown. And then obviously they didn't get around to that. So we're going to talk about that and also lots of other cool stuff. We want to hear from you. Drop us a message in the YouTubes and like and subscribe for sake, because otherwise it doesn't show up in the algorithm. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. If I have to say that one more time, I'm going to go crazy, let alone you. So let's just do it. Let's get it done, people. And then I don't have to bother you again for a whole weekend. We can start again on Monday. Like and subscribe. CliffCentral.com.